This is the Murphy, Sam, and Jody Weekend Replay Podcast, picking out some of our favorite moments from this past week, and it starts now.
All right, give us the update on your son Sammy's triathlon.
I keep wanting to call it a triathlon, but it was an Ironman.
But isn't it?
But it's
a
triathlon. Yeah, it's three things.
It's a triathlon, but if you participate in it, it's Ironman.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. So what's the story?
He was okay. I didn't know this, but on these Ironman man things, there is a time limit.
They're not going to wait for you if you take forever. Is that what that
means?
Well,
that's one way to put it.
Yeah. Time limit on each segment or time?
Well, actually, there is a time limit on each segment, on the swimming, on the running, and on biking. But there's also an overall time limit of eight and a half hours. So if you finish over 8.5 hours,
you don't.
Nothing. They don't. Woohoo! When you come across the finish line, you don't qualify. You don't get your time posted.
My gosh, that's sad because, I'm sorry, it doesn't matter how long it takes you. If you finish that, that's an accomplishment.
In fact, they've already started packing up the bleachers at that point.
Where's everybody? In fact, Sammy's mom, when I told her that, she's like, that's not fair. And it's I understand, but he went into it knowing this.
Right.
And Sammy figured he was going to finish.
It's a fact.
In his head, he's like somewhere between 7 and 7.5 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The biking... Something happened in the biking. He said the rolling hills that they promised were worse than rolling hills.
Oh.
So it wound up, we watched his time. When he got to the running part at the end, he started picking up time again.
Oh, my gosh.
For the half marathon.
I'm getting tired listening to this.
But the 56 miles on the bike kind of slowed him down. Anyway, he finished at 8 hours and 17 minutes.
Oh, Sammy, congratulations.
Whoa.
13 minutes before the deadline.
13 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Get this.
He made
incredible.
It.
He says he eventually wants to do a full Ironman, and he said that limit is 17 hours. It's like, you're moving for 17 hours?
I do not understand.
No. Now, the great thing is, he was not winded, not anything. I saw him, they had some video of him at the end of the race, and then I saw him yesterday when I brought Django, his dog, back.
Right.
He was like, great. He goes, yeah, look. And he jogged. He says, see, I can run. Nothing hurts anything.
Well,
turns
how old
out,
is he?
Yeah, he also trained for a year.
Right.
He told me his 5-day training regimen for a year. And it's like, oh, my
God.
It's
all about the training.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, the day of is the kiss. It's the icing on the cake.
Now he's looking for his next 70 again. He's going to do a few 70s now before he goes up to a full.
Crazy good.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
877-310-4MSJ to join us anytime.
What's going on, Donnie?
I was calling about the Breast Cancer Awareness Month that y'all are talking about.
Yes.
I am a survivor this year.
Congrats.
Congratulations.
I have actually just finished radiation last month. Mm. The point I wanted to share, and I've been pushing this all year on social media, is go get your yearly mammogram.
Yep.
Because I go every year. I went in because I found a lump that I felt was a cyst, and I was right, it was.
Oh.
But they scanned both sides, and on the other side, they found a tumor.
Oh.
And it was not there 6 months before.
Whoa,
and
that's fast.
And there's no family history.
Was it like more in the arm area, or was it on the breast? What you found.
It was all the way against my chest wall, so I would not have felt it until it got enormous.
Oh my gosh. And were you feeling bad at all?
No. I mean, like I said, I felt the lump on the left side that I knew it was a cyst because it was perfectly round.
Right.
But I went in anyway to do the right thing, and I'm glad I did because I'm glad my doctor ordered a scan, a bilateral scan, instead of just looking at the problem side. And within a month, I had surgery, and by that point, it had doubled in size and moved to my lymph nodes.
Oh, my gosh.
Ooh.
I still had to go through chemo and radiation and now pills for, 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
But, there's no family history, and I never in a million years would have thought I would have that diagnosis.
Right.
But 60 to 80% of women that are diagnosed with breast cancer have no family history. And that's what's scary.
It is.
Because I don't think women realize that.
No. Well, I am so glad you called to say this and share this. It's important to know.
And my other advice is, even if you get a cancer diagnosis, the best advice I can give anybody is to keep your head in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of the treatment that you go through is just temporary. Every type of cancer they find is not only treatable but curable if it's caught early.
Well, thank you for this, Donnie. You are awesome to share it, and we're going to share it because of you.
Well, good. go get your mammograms.
Yes. Look, call us anytime and let us know how you are doing.
Okay, well, thank you. I'm trying to build up to do a walk this month now that I'm finished with all my treatment.
Yes.
So thank you for all of your encouragement that you give people every day.
Thank you, Donnie. We appreciate the call.
Do you guys remember the new interesting weight loss trick that's trending or whatever that I mentioned yesterday in Three Things to Know?
Mm-hmm. Eat with your other hand.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Eat with your non-dominant
hand.
Or that, too.
What do you think of it?
I'm going to try it.
Oh, yeah? Are you trying to lose weight?
I'm always trying to lose weight.
That's the right answer, right?
I've reached a point where I'm not going higher, which is great, but any opportunity to lose weight.
Sure.
I mean, and this doesn't cost me anything. And it's cool to play this mental trick on myself, so I want to try it.
I think the only problem is going to be the mess it makes.
About to say.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, right.
I cannot wait.
Try to eat rice with your non-dominant
hand. And the fork marks on my face.
Yeah, exactly.
Chopsticks.
Oh.
Oh, ouch.
No.
Look, I can't wait to hear if you really try this week, because to me, it depends on how impatient you're feeling. Because to me, if you're really hungry and impatient, you're going to switch back to your dominant hand.
Yeah.
But that's the weight loss trick that's trending. And it sounds silly maybe, but if you were to compile the best 5 weight loss tricks you've ever heard and you implement all of them, you're going to have to see and feel a little bit of a difference, okay?
Yeah.
There is no magic thing. Well, I guess there are some injections that are magic, but, you know, weight loss tricks you have to, if you put them all together, I would think they'd work.
Like smaller portions, use my left hand.
Right. Use your non-dominant hand. Drink a glass of water before every meal is another one.
Yeah.
At night.
Because you feel more full. Yeah.
Brush your teeth early at night so that you don't eat, because you're less likely to snack if you've already brushed your teeth.
That's interesting.
Brush my teeth with my dominant hand or non-dominant?
It doesn't matter.
And as far
your
as
dentist would say dominant.
The drinking the water, that's dominant.
I would only do that with a dominant hand. But Jody, I think, has stumbled onto something here.
Yeah.
Not just with a fork, with chopsticks.
Well, chopsticks, I can use my dominant hand. With chopsticks, it's
still the same.
But
yeah.
I do fairly well with that. I mean, I will probably still lose weight with that. Now, the left hand would be a lost cause with chopsticks.
Yeah. You might as well just
I don't
sit
even
out.
Know that I could actually physically hold them.
Well, that's when you use them to just stab the food.
The person that sort of launched this trend of eating with your non-dominant hand said it actually takes longer because you're eating more mindfully. It's not just that you're slowing down. You end up eating mindfully, which is what we're supposed to do anyway.
Yeah.
Make it its own slow event instead of doing it mindlessly.
Well, and trying not to spill soup in your lap.
Oh, man.
Out.
Soup.
If it's new and you can eat it, Sam's found it. He's the food dude.
Brought to you by Kohl's.
Since this is National Pizza Month, I got some more pizza deals for you.
Yay.
Okay.
In fact, for Halloween, Papa Murphy's has their Jacko Pizza.
Oh, so cute.
Back.
Oh,
so
I love
cute.
That because the pepperoni makes the face
yeah,
of the pumpkin.
And
that's cute.
The olives make the eyes.
I love that.
Also, Aldi grocery store or supermarket, they have two Halloween pizzas. They have a pumpkin,
yeah.
But they also have a ghost, a little
cute.
Ghost that has the olive eyes.
Ghost
as well.
Peppers. Never mind.
Yeah.
That's funny, actually.
I think so, too.
I got to give you credit on that one. And Domino's has got a new deal going on. This is kind of funny. They're calling it the emergency pizza.
We've had those before.
Yeah, we have.
Okay, you order on Domino's online or a digital carryout, $7.99 or more, and they'll give you a coupon good for a free emergency pizza.
A free anytime?
Well, you got to use it like within the next 30 days.
Okay, last minute.
So what do they mean by emergency? It's just a
just
it's
what
a
Jody
joke.
Said, kind of. It's yeah, it's just
dinner,
a joke.
I burned dinner. Haha, I need an emergency pizza.
What's for dinner? Oh, I didn't plan anything. How about the emergency pizza?
The kids brought the friends home and I don't have enough food.
Okay.
Break out the emergency pizza.
Yeah.
Okay.
You understand, Murphy?
I get it now, yeah.
Should we keep acting these out?
I think we're pretty good.
Honey Baked Ham is adding ham and cheddar biscuits, and these are kind of cool because they're take and bake. They come in an order of 3 or 9. You take them home, you throw them in the oven for a few minutes, and boom, there they go.
I bet they're good.
And it has a garlic, herb butter, and sweet honey glaze sauce on top.
It's all about the sauce. Bless you, Murphy.
Red Robin, they've debuted a new barbecue burnt ends bacon burger.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's got the smoked burn ends, cheddar cheese, peppercorn bacon, crispy onion straws, barbecue sauce, pickles and mayo.
All good except the peppercorn for me.
That's right.
I don't like biting into those things.
Makes him sneeze.
Maybe you'd like the smashed avocado and bacon burger. They have one of those, too.
Oh, that sounds good, yes.
Yes.
And if you like to frequent Applebee's, you may already know this, but the Dollarita is back. And do I have to explain what that is?
No, but it really is. That's the happy hour, right?
They said they've added triple sec this time in the Dollarita. It used to be just tequila and lime mix. So, and
goodness.
And it's also 2 extra ounces. 12 ounces for a buck.
If you love iced tea when you go out to eat, which I do, if it arrives at the table and it tastes a little funny and you don't send it back, here's what you're not sending back. In other words, I know that a lot of people don't like to send things back to a kitchen. When my tea tastes funny, I'll ask for a different drink. I'll say, this tastes funny to me.
Funny how, though?
Look, you've tasted funny tea, though, right? Tell me
I'm
you know what I'm
what
talking
funny
about.
Tea is. I mean, I know when you get to the bottom of the tea container, you get a lot of leaves and residue.
Yes. But in a restaurant, you've never had tea where you're like, this tea tastes funny. We've all been there, right, Murph?
Yes. Yeah, we have been there.
I have.
You're just agreeing with her.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking. I know that you had some tea that
you
sent back. Yeah. So I guess I put so much sweetener in mine that by that time I do that, I don't know.
Let me tell you the top three culprits of why your tea would taste funny in a restaurant. And if so, to me, it's okay to say it doesn't taste great. Can you bring me a Coke instead or something else? Number three, mineral buildup in their tap water. If they're filling up the tea thing before they make it with the tap water and there's a mineral situation, it can make the tea taste funny. It's not as likely, but it's possible.
Doesn't make it bad for you, though.
No. Yeah. No, you can drink it all day long and go, it tastes funny, but I'm not going to
send it back. Well, everybody needs their minerals.
Number two, restaurant equipment, the big things that hold the tea that haven't been washed often enough.
Yeah.
That's okay. The kind of thing that'll create a little paranoia, though. Once you put that in your head, you know.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to create, but I'm trying to tell you a true story. The number one, you know, our favorite restaurant where we go for lunch every week, they have the best tea. And this is to me why. The number one reason your tea could taste funny in a restaurant is because with iced tea, bacteria buildup can happen quickly. And if they're selling it all before they make a new batch, like a restaurant that throws the tea out at the end of the day and makes a new batch in the morning, they always have great tasting tea. But if they're holding on to it until it all sells, it can taste funny. And when it tastes funny to you, you're drinking tea that's been sitting.
So maybe later in the day, don't order tea.
Or if it tastes funny, just be confident enough to send it back. Murphy, I have a little surprise for you. I know you brought Sam a surprise.
It's surprise day. Okay.
You brought Sam from your parents' house. You guys are finally cleaning out the very last things in the home, and you'd found 3 folded American flags, and you've given one to Sam because he's a flag person.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really nice flag. while you were sorting some of that stuff, I guess last night you were out in your man cave office, and I was doing some stuff inside with the stuff you've brought from your parents' house, including all the matchbooks.
Oh, yeah.
But your dad collected matchbooks from probably the 60s and the 70s. I don't know how old some of these are. And it took me 3 big glass vases to put them all, like, displayed. I posted a picture. I'm sorry, 4. I can't count. It's so many matchbooks. Anyway, what?
Where are you going to put these?
They're all together on a table in our family room.
I don't know that that's the permanent thing. See what Jody doesn't know yet by putting them all in. It's a really nice display, by the way. It looks really good.
Well, I know we're not getting rid of them, so I'm doing the best I can do.
Remember, Jody, he's setting you up with a compliment.
Yeah, and I have a surprise for you. Remember that?
Yeah. Well, and I had already sorted them in bags. So but later I can, that's fine. I can go back and.
They look so haphazard. They did not look sorted.
Yeah.
Sorted how?
Doesn't matter now, does it?
They
weren't.
Some of the classic ones were like really old ones separated from the newer ones. But
now
it doesn't matter.
They're all dumped in the vases.
It doesn't matter.
Oh,
it's fine.
That'll give you something to do this weekend.
It looks beautiful.
Nothing like having to go back and redo that, huh, Murphy?
Sorry.
Is of the essence.
Hey, when you leave stuff sitting around the house at my house, what happens to it?
I know.
I pick up stuff.
It gets unsorted.
It does.
It's no big deal. It's only 350 matchbooks.
Okay,
not a big deal.
Do you want my suggestion on this?
Sure.
Yeah, I would love your suggestion.
I thought you had a big giant one time.
I did.
Yeah.
I had one big one,
yeah.
And it's full, and I've had three smaller ones to fill also.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have anything bigger in glass, and it's that many matchbooks.
All right.
So quickly, the surprise, after I messed up the matchbook,
I started
going through the marbles. I poured all the marbles.
All the blue ones over here.
I poured all the marbles into a colander so I could wash them. There's more than marbles in that thing.
Oh, really?
There are all kinds of screws and some kind of old from 1950-something test that your dad took and kept. So I'm going to give this to you. You can examine it later. The number one movie at the box office right now is called Exorcist Believer. It is a sequel to the original Exorcist movie from 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
But for Exorcist Purist, which that movie always comes in as the number one scariest movie on almost every list of horror movies. I've never seen it. I'm too scared of it, to be honest with you. I'm way too scared of it.
It's kind of funny because that's from the early 70s.
It is.
And all these movies we have since, and that's the scariest.
Here's why. Wow. I started reading about it from forums online and people who love the movie and love horror and why they say it stands up. It's because completely believable the way it's told. It's a very slow build.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that happens to this little girl and her mother watching in horror, it happens slowly and it happens to you along with the mother and you believe it. Mm. It's not, you know, frights and jumps and right off the bat.
There's no CGI.
It's a psychological buildup is really
right.
What it is.
And it's
right?
Horrific.
Yeah.
And so it has a lot to do with the patience of storytelling, why The Exorcist is so effective,
okay.
Is what I came away with.
Okay.
And that music, too. Honestly,
yeah.
You hear that, and that's just spooky.
I know. Apparently, it was a horrible set to be on, if you read about Linda Blair and her experience on the set of that movie as that little girl. Well, anyway, so in reading that, you go down rabbit holes when you start reading about horror movies and things like that, and it's like, what makes a movie scary to you is different per person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people you're genetically wired to be more scared than normal or to laugh at scary, which is Sam. You often laugh at scary things.
Some scary things.
And a lot of times it has to do with where you are in your life when you watch something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Think about the things that affect you. The first time you actually were scared as a kid, that kind of thing stays with you.
Right.
So The Exorcist Believer, which is currently playing, which is, you know, it's going to fall down to whatever in the box office because the Eras tour is coming.
Oh, yeah.
But if you did like the movie The Exorcist and it scared you, you should give it a chance. The purist just say it doesn't live up. But for them, nothing could. It doesn't matter the horror movie. All horror movies are trying to live up to the original Exorcist. We dug into that this week and today's probably the last day that The Exorcist Believer, the sequel, which is playing at the box office, it's the last day it'll be number one because here comes Taylor Swift tomorrow.
Yeah,
but
that'll change it.
We love hearing from you about any of this. 877-310-4MSJ.
You've got something for us, Terry?
Yes. I have an older sister. She's 4 years older than me. Mm-hmm. And so way back in the day, I sound young. I promise I'm not. the original Exorcist.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I did everything with her, right? So
sure.
She's watching this movie, so I'm going to watch it with her. And I was probably like 8 or 9.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, man. And I have never been able to watch it since. I am 48 years old.
Good.
And I have never been. I can't watch the remake. I can't watch it either.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you? There's no. You don't need to make that a goal if it really scared you.
No, it is not a goal of mine at all. It is not.
I guess shout out to the maker of the original Exorcist because that's the one that people just don't even, they just can't shake it.
Yeah.
Once you've seen it.
Yeah. Can't. Mm-hmm.
Good news is I haven't seen it, so there's nothing to shake.
I don't want to.
Thank you, Terry. We appreciate the call.
Yeah. That's the conversation that you and I were having, Sam, about Sam. You want to tell everybody? You want to bring everybody in?
No, you can tell them.
He wants to see it, but he's not sure he needs to see it. You're having an argument with yourself about whether to give it a shot.
I want to see
it
just because of what it is. It's
iconic.
Know, that movie. But it's like, I don't want to see it because I know what it'll do to me.
Will it really make you, be honest with yourself, will it make you have nightmares?
It'll make me wonder before I go to bed at night. I'll start hearing noises and stuff.
Then watch it in the
really?
Morning.
You said, that's what I watch it in the daylight with all the lights on.
Okay, that's your weekend. Okay, we love hearing from you. Keep it coming anytime. 877-310-4MSJ. If you've ever had an animal make a home in your home or near your home, maybe you'll...
You mean like a rat's nest?
No. Okay, Murphy, do you want to just tell Sam about our visitor that I want and you don't?
Well, it's not that I don't want the visitor. I just don't think it's a logical place for this visitor to be.
I think it is logical.
We have a wreath hanging on the front door. Mm-hmm. Usually Jody switches that out depending on the season. So it's Halloween. You're about to put up your Halloween wreath.
Well, maybe not.
And but the wreath that says love right now, something is living in the O.
The wreath says hello.
Oh, it says hello. Maybe I should pay attention.
Luckily, there's still an O. So the story
yeah, the
still
wreath
works.
Says hello.
It is. I knew
the
it was
Halloween
in,
one says boo.
I knew it was another
in,
O.
Yeah, see, I knew it was in an O. But anyway, I'm opening the door the other night, and I jumped because I thought I felt something it hit me in the chest. But, you know, and our oldest daughter, Taylor, was behind us like, Dad, you scared me. But I didn't
see anything.
And he
said, something
anything.
Touched me, and she was laughing
she
at
was
you.
Laughing. She's like, you know, you were seeing things.
You're ha-ha. Crazy, Dad.
2 days go by. Our youngest, Phoebe, is leaving last night. She opens the door, and a bird flies out, you know,
from my wreath.
Ahead of her. And so it was a bird that hit me in the chest the other night.
Oh. He's living in my O.
Yeah. He's living in the O. But, you know, we've got guests coming over this week, and I'm like, Jody, this really... She's like, don't take the wreath down. I'm like...
Please
gotta
don't.
Take the wreath down, you know.
It's because, his home now.
But we've got guests coming over, so anybody who comes and knocks on the door is going to get a bird in the face,
well,
you know?
The thing is, okay, obviously he's setting up a nest because he's going to have kids, or she's going to have kids,
it's
right?
It's a girl, right?
Because you don't just show up and, you know.
I know.
There's no single bird nests, are there?
I don't know, Sam.
All right. Take the wreath and relocate it.
I am.
That way you can put your Halloween wreath up, but take that one and relocate it to a less trafficked area.
I know, but I...
Well, that's a good idea.
Okay, what's the problem with
it?
Well,
no, there's nothing wrong with it. It's guaranteed to be destroyed that way, so that's a good
idea.
I'm
scared. I don't... You know me. I don't... What's wrong with telling our guest, hey, use the super expensive Ring doorbell and don't knock, and there's a bird living in the O.
They're going to walk up and it's going to go...
That's
so birds are out everywhere outside. They're not going to be assaulted by the bird.
I like Sam's idea. I think I'm going to move this thing to, you know, a
Wait,
more conspicuous
Wait, we have to talk
location.
About it before we move it, though. I don't want to move it. I want to let...
Got to have a meeting first.
877-310-4MSJ. It's easy to join us that way. We've been... talking about The Exorcist and how most horror movies are really just trying to live up to the legend that one is. Hmm. And if something has lived up to it for you, we want to know about it.
What's yours, Cynthia?
My son and I are both big horror movie buffs, but I think top of my list is a movie that I saw before he was born, and that's The Shining.
Oh, yes.
It's such a vivid portrayal of someone that's experiencing a psychological break.
Yeah.
And a psychotic break. And the involvement of the little boy just makes it even more horrifying for me.
I agree. The whole, everything, the setting, too.
Yeah. I'm not a real fan of the slasher gore ones, but if it's psychologically terrifying, then those make my list.
Yeah.
Right.
Same here, Cynthia. I agree. Jack Nicholson's perfect.
Little pig, let me come in. Not by the hair on your chinny chin chin.
He did that so well.
I will say, though, that's one you, to appreciate the psychological and the psychotic break, you need to read what he's thinking. You need to read the book. And okay. Stephen King would say the same, I believe.
How are you, Anita?
Good, thank you, good. First time caller.
Oh, well, glad to have you along.
Yeah. So the scariest movie I saw when I was older, and it freaked me out, was Silence of the Lambs, because you know there are crazies out there like that.
Hey, that's mine. That's mine. Agreed.
yeah, I just thought, oh, wow. Yeah. So I was, you know, well aware that there are crazy people out there and, you know.
I didn't need to get into their well. I didn't need to get into the house. And I'm going to tell you something else I don't do because of that movie. I will never help somebody load a chair into a truck. Tell you that right now.
I heard that.
Thank you, Anita. You know, there's something about the psychological versus the diabolical, both of which are scary to me. You know what I mean? But the psychological thrillers, to me, they're more entertaining, but they still creep me out to a certain point. Silence of the Lambs really was kind of like, oh, that one stuck with me for a while.
Yeah.
Psychological ones you can see happening to you. You can believe it more.
It messes with
you. They seem more real.
Right, because we all have, you know, at times in our lives, mind issues, right?
Some of us still do.
They can come in any time.
Time for Jody's Top 5 Entertainment Stories of the Week, brought to you by Swiffer.
Number 5.
Netflix gave us the 6th and final season trailer for The Crown.
The Crown is a symbol of permanence.
Oh my gosh, don't forget that this show, every single episode looks like a major motion picture. It's that beautiful and you can get sucked in. You can think you don't care about this stuff and then whoa, you're there.
I loved it.
Part 1 will be reaching us November 16th. Six episodes, and then part 2 the next month, December 14th. So by the end of the year, you could be finished with all of this.
Holiday binge.
That's right. And it only goes up through like 2006, so no Harry and Meghan here.
Number 4.
Frozen 3 is in the works over at Disney.
Build a snowman.
The head of animation says she's blown away by what she's seen so far. They're not letting us know plot details, but everybody's back. Kristen Bell, Idina Menzel, Josh Gad, you name it. When are we getting this movie? 2026 or 2027.
Number 3.
A new book coming out revealing a lot more than we ever thought we'd know about Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith, including some Chris Rock.
The people I did it hurt. It still hurts.
All right. It's Jada's memoir called Worthy, dropping on us next week on the 17th. The big revelation so far that she and Will have actually been separated since 2016 and living separate lives, but they're not divorced. And then when Chris Rock heard they were separated, he asked her out and she said, I'm sorry, I am actually still married.
According to her.
According to her and according to this book.
Number 2.
We like Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling together, right?
Hey, Barbie. Can I come to your house tonight?
Chemistry in the Barbie movie. So guess what? They're working together again. It's an Ocean's 11 prequel set in Monte Carlo.
Oh, cool.
In the early 60s. Can you imagine the sets and the clothing?
The clothes, yeah.
An epic type love story with adventure, of course.
Number 1.
The big one being the Eras Tour movie in theaters now.
We're about to go on a little adventure together, and that adventure is going
to Here's what to know. I want you to know. Stay for the end credits. There's behind the scenes stuff and wardrobe malfunctions and stuff you couldn't have known was happening that's happening that they share with you.
Mm-hmm.
The concerts were all 3 hours long, but this movie is 2 hours, 40 minutes. So not every song makes it. They make the transitions quicker. And when exactly was it filmed? Over the 6 nights that she played at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles.
Okay.
She's a big fan. She was there in the audience the other night dancing and singing, and that's the word. If you show up, AMC says, feel free to stand up and dance and sing.
Yes, it is true that having too many apps on your phone can slow it down. Now, Jody always used to say that. And I'm like, no, it's made for this.
Wait, you believe this now?
Well, yeah, I read it somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
There you go, Jody.
Whoever you marry in life, they don't believe anything you say anymore.
It's just that, you know, I thought the phone could handle it. So I've now become, I'm in the habit of removing apps that I don't use anymore.
Wow.
Some, are tough to peel off because you never know when you need them. And me...
You can put them back on if you need them.
True.
It takes two seconds.
That is true. Only if you're moving for speed. For example, a lot of these wildlife apps, I just love them because you can point, you know, your camera at a bird.
What?
Or if you took a picture of that bird, you can use that app and it can analyze that photo and tell you what kind of bird it is or where it's from. Sometimes you want to know that.
Yeah, they have apps that analyze bird songs to let you know what kind of bird it is.
Same thing with insects. Same thing with leaves for trees. Same thing with the solar system, you know?
You don't even spend that much time outside, though.
Oh, the solar system.
Oh, yeah. You can hold it up to the sky.
I got one of those.
So, I mean, that way the kids don't have to know that you didn't really know that's Mercury.
Yeah.
I proved it beforehand. But the one that I like that came in really handy about 8 weeks ago is the one, you know, when our dog Champ got bit by a snake, and it's an app called Snake Snap.
Yes.
That's actually what it's called.
That was
Snake
important.
Snap. And what's cool about that, and I'm still going to remove it anyway, but to me, what took that one to the next level is if the photo can't be identified by the app, there's actually a professional
experts
snake dude. I don't know what you call that. It's not an ornithologist.
On standby? Bird.
Yeah. Somewhere in the world, there's always somebody that his job is to review what gets sent to Snake Snap.
Good.
And tell you what kind of snake it is.
The app pays him, I'm sure. Him or her.
Yeah.
Could be a girl. Biological sciences major somewhere.
So did you talk to that person?
No, I didn't need to.
Oh, the app showed you?
Yeah. He said, this is obviously
dummy.
A cottonmouth idiot.
Back away.
No, the app knew it right away.
That's cool.
But I'm going to go ahead and remove it. But I just thought that was cool.
You got to use it.
It's one that actually also has a live human that will work, you know.
That's the trick. Murphy has 800 apps on his phone because if he has to use it once and it works, day made.
It's also,
that's the happy day for you.
Redundancy. He's got like 4 weather apps. And
yep.
Well, you never know.
You know him.
Was that lightning really 10 miles away or not?